As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Time, space, reality.
These are the voyages of the starship What If.
Shut up, Wesley!
Welcome to What If TV Talk. What? Or is it panel to screen? I don't know. Everything's confusing, but maybe.
What if it was panel to screen?
I think it actually, you know what? Yes. What if it was TV Talk?
What if it was ZomboCom?
Oh, wow. That's a joke before the show even went live. Hey, man, we are Bo and Bell here of the Flash TV Talk podcast, who are bringing you some What If TV Talk as part of our TV Talk Plus series. This actually, for all intents and purposes, will conclude the TV Talk Plus series, maybe, sort of. But what if it doesn't? That's the question I have.
What if the last episode of What If hasn't been released yet? There is a galaxy, a universe, if you will. Where two podcasters review a show that hasn't completed.
This is going to be interesting. This is going to be a little bit different, but I think it'll be kind of fun. All right. So normally, obviously, for those who've been listening, know that we've been going kind of like a binge watch, essentially, you know, just kind of going back and you know, recapping an entire season of these Disney Plus shows. But because of where this fell and kind of our recording schedule, and because, you know, maybe we want to test out some things, we are going to be talking about What If, specifically all the episodes leading up to the finale, but not the finale. So from one to the penultimate episode, that is what you've got here on this review. It's going to be spoilers for those and nothing but pure speculation for the finale. And honestly, man, that's one of the reasons I've been looking forward to this, because I miss out on kind of some of these reviews without being able to speculate. Speculation is like, that's kind of a critical component of a quality podcast, in my opinion.
That's sort of our bag.
It is. It is. Like the low-key TV Talk thing, man. I don't know. We might have, I don't know if we went too far, didn't go far enough, or we lost everybody, but one way or the other, we had fun with it.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, we're happy that you guys like to listen to that sometimes.
Well, so this is such a great, you know, follow-up to Loki, right? Because without the events of Loki, theoretically, there would not be a multiverse to dive into. We are introduced, of course, in this series to the Watcher. Now, the Watcher, of course, played by Jeffrey Wright, famous for many roles, but of course, known probably predominantly as Bernard from Westworld. He here does play the Watcher, however, is never actually referred to as Uatu. So are we to assume that he is not Uatu? Because I got to tell you, man, in my head, I've been thinking that he's been Uatu the entire time.
Is this one of those things where it's like, you know, he who remains is not Kang, but he is Kang? Or is this less or more ambiguous? I don't know. Like,
so we've seen other Watchers, right? Like there's kind of this question of, is there one or is there multiple? And in, I want to say Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, when they were kind of doing the whole planetary jump, we got a very, very funny cameo from Stan Lee, where he's sitting there talking to, I think, like two or three Watchers. And he's like, and then they had me and I was a postman. Like, you know, he was like sharing his experiences across the multiverse. And, you know, I think it was a great, you know, it was a great kind of, you know, blink and you miss it cameo, hilarious moment for those in the know. But it also kind of sets up this, you know, question, kind of a question of continuity. Obviously, there were more than one. So Uatu, if Uatu exists in this universe, he is not the only Watcher. There are a collective of Watchers, if you will.
Yeah. And I guess the reason why I'm sort of dubious about whether or not he is Uatu is that I guess not like Green Lanterns per se, but like they watch various parts of the universe, right? Like they don't like
the multiverse,
like, the multiverse. Yeah. But like Uatu watches a certain part of it, part of the, like Earth solar system in the multiverse versus.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like he's assigned to a specific, you know, so theoretically based off of that, if this Watcher is not Uatu, he is one that's kind of perusing the multiversal archives, whereas Uatu is just chilling out, watching 616, you know, drinking Mai Tais and being like, hey, this is like the only universe that's been in existence for some time. So, you know, don't know what you guys are doing, but
yeah. Cause I mean, like that's the thing cause he seemed to be the one watching the Watcher in What If is watching the entire multiverse and not right. like a section of it. As if there were like multiple Watchers to watch over different stuff. Cause I think in that, how it's organized in the comics, there's
honestly, I can't recall, you know, What If the comic book series, despite like me generally loving that kind of, you know, quote unquote, What If narrative and kind of re-exploration of different characters and different stories, but from a different angle, I never really got into the What If Marvel series. Like to me, it seemed a little hokey compared to, you know, the Elseworlds nature of DC. I liked how DC had kind of structured its multiverse. And What If, like, just based on the question in and of itself, seemed like it was proposing a hypothetical as opposed to looking into actual established universes. You know what I mean? Like from a comic book standpoint.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. You know, the branding maybe wasn't perhaps the best to sort of,
well, I would actually, so I mean, like that's the thing, right? Like the branding itself is the message. Like that's why it's called What If. It is called that to get you, the then reader, to pay attention to what's going on, and it asks a question. And so I think that kind of pitchy you know, comic book production company narrative is kind of established early on, whereas Elseworlds, like I said, it does feel a little bit more, you know, a solid and embedded into the multiverse as a whole. The multiverse in general, you know, while having existed in both the big two, DC Comics has historically been kind of the one that has played the most in the multiversal space. They've kind of, if there is a, you know, you got the space war. Well, if you got the multiverse war, I would say that, you know, DC Comics got there first, but with Into the Spider-Verse, the concept of the multiverse, I feel like, has become more commonly accepted. Like the layman, the you know, the Joe on the street, the Jane on the street, if you go up and ask them about the multiverse, they're going to have at least some sort of working concept. If not, you need kind of deep quantum theoretical, you know, understanding. They're going to know what you're talking about with the multiverse. Whereas pre Into the Spider-Verse, I don't know if that was true.
From like a comic book standpoint, probably. I mean, people might be like, yeah, multiverse, like they're not going to know, like, you know, oh, the whole, you know, determination kind of thing and Schrodinger's cat kind of aspect and the quantum, you know, all that kind of aspect of it. But like, yeah, maybe they would, you know, what's the multiverse? Be like, it's like a bunch of different universes. Like we live, you know, because I feel like that's kind of maybe a abstract enough thing that people would just at least have a guess about what it is, like, but not the comic version, obviously. I'm talking about, like, you know, the
just in general the concept.
Yeah.
I think, probably before, but I think definitely now. Now, of course, with the with What If, we do get a dive into the multiverse and we get to see a couple of different worlds here and different questions. Some of these are kind of, easy. Like, you might be like, of course, yes. What if Captain Carter essentially becomes Captain Britain, although they never call her that. I do hope they're going to call her that before this is all over. But, what if Peggy Carter got the serum? Like, okay, cool. That kind of makes sense. What if Marvel Zombies? All right. Yeah. Everybody loves Marvel Zombies. Why not? And then they throw some kind of crazy stuff at you. Like, what if Thor was a party boy? Which, honestly, is really more like, hey, what if Taika Waititi was like driving the Thor franchise from the beginning? I feel like that's what the real what if was for that one, right?
And yeah, like that had his signature like all over it, I felt.
Yeah, that's really
like
what it was.
Korg, like with a pacifier in his mouth, like rolling on ecstasy on a bridge on a party. Yeah, like that was hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, I think of all the characters, Thor has gone through probably the largest, change. If you look at kind of how he was first introduced into how he's seen in Endgame, I mean, a complete, not even a 180. He's just a very different character. And I think in the hands of, different creators, they've done different things with them. And also just as Chris Hemsworth has found kind of, his own voice, I think, in Thor, it's changed. The character has changed and adapted. And so it's kind of cool to see like, all right, well, what if the Thor of today was the one we were starting off with in the first Thor movie? And honestly,
he didn't have a Loki.
And I will see even that. I almost feel like there was kind of like excuse. How do we do that? Like what is the in-universe explanation for why Thor is kind of like this man child? And without Loki, although Loki, man, he's still a brother from another mother.
Yeah, he's still kind of a party boy, too. Like they didn't have this sibling rivalry where he felt neglected. And so that fundamentally changed his character as well.
Oh, he didn't get stolen from his family. Odin always told us like, oh, you were left for dead, so I raised you. I'm like, I mean, you could have brought him back to his dad, Odin. Yeah.
After you destroyed their planet, you could have been like, oh, hey, I picked up this kid who was like about to die. You can have him back.
Yeah. Yeah. As like, oh, here's your boy. And they're like, oh, I appreciate that. Okay. Yeah. You know what? Let's be friends. Because in the image that they showed, Laufey was quite happy to get his son back. And then on top of that, Odin wasn't there torturing, Loki as if like, oh, you know what? You're not as good as my son Thor, and you'll never be as good, and you're never going to be king.
Yeah.
And Odin really is the worst.
Yeah. Well, and they gave them back the, Frost cube thing, so their world didn't collapse into terribleness.
Yeah,
because it feels like the peace was brokered not by I'm taking this thing that keeps your world alive so that you never revolt again. It's like I'm giving you back your son, and so let's keep this this peace going so that I don't have to take your little world device thing. And the Frost Giants seemed pretty cool about it. They were coming to Midgard not to conquer but to party, man.
Yeah, everybody was there to party. Like they're just throwing parties into the apocalypse. It's great. It's awesome. Honestly, man, that one in particular is probably one of, if not, well, it's probably my second favorite episode right now of the series, but let me just ask you this. Do you have a favorite of the episodes we've gotten thus far?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I liked a lot of them. I think there were clearly some that were better than others.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have a least favorite?
I don't know.
Quality podcasting belt. Well,
it's hard. Like I know Christy didn't like the What If Doctor Strange lost his heart instead of his hands.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's talk about that one real quick. Cause that one was the one, man. I was watching these with my kids, and then that one came along and some damage was done. Did I share this with you already? I can't remember.
I don't think so, no.
Okay. All right. So this is the situation there. First of all right. So my wife has a name that sounds very similar to Christine Palmer. On top of that, she also bears a striking resemblance to the actress that plays Christine Palmer. And given the fact that, brunette women on this show all look alike, I'm sorry, but they have not figured out a way to differentiate them, except for Darcy's probably the only one that does have a little bit more of a, you can tell who she is.
Yes, but I do want to say right quick, while you're sitting here trashing the animation, that the animation on the show is fantastic.
Fantastic. It was brilliant. You're right. Brilliant. I shouldn't come absolutely out the gate wonderful with the one criticism I have. That's a good point. It was a fantastic, glorious animation as a whole. But my point is that all they do kind of like, you know, draw all the brunette women kind of similar. They don't have a good way to kind of distinguish them or haven't figured that out. And so the point is we have this character that's being called a name that's very similar to my wife's name, that looks very similar to my wife, and the profession that is very similar to my wife's profession, dying over and over again. And my youngest, my six-year-old, is sitting here watching essentially her mom die over and over and over again. And then on top of that, when they get to the end, her biggest fear, my youngest, like one of
cuttlefish. If you're going to make cuttlefish come out.
No, but like one of her biggest fears is being left alone, is like the concept of just being completely alone. And so at the very tail end of it, you've got Doctor Strange, a character that both she and her sister absolutely like love, completely and totally alone. And when I tell you, we had nightmares all night. It wasn't the monsters. Typically, monsters get her. It wasn't the monsters in this one. It was just the very concept of, you know, just the combination of seeing her mom die several times and then, you know, being completely alone. That was her hell, man. Like, that was absolute hell. And I was like, all right, after that, let me screen all these, which is good because we got zombies next week.
So when she woke up and she's like, you know, I had a nightmare that I was all alone in a orb of existence where you're like, but you are alone, and then like turn the light out and close the door. And
then oh gosh, no, I'm not a terrible father. I mean, like, obviously I let her watch this and it was not a good idea, but I'm not that bad. I think we've established I'm not a great dad, but I'm not. But anyway, yeah, no, but that one was heavy, man. Of all of them, I would say that's probably the heaviest one we got.
Yeah, for sure. That's the heaviest one, I would think.
A lot of speculation that this Doctor Strange, the Superior Strange, we're going to actually see in live action. You know, perhaps this is going to be the Doctor Strange that Spider-Man is dealing with in the upcoming No Way Home. Thoughts on this theory?
No. I've heard the theories that there's like, this isn't Doctor Strange, it's actually somebody else, and it's Mephisto.
Dun-dun.
But because I kind of picture these as all kind of like standalone things, and I was very pleasantly surprised when they all sort of, not all of them, but they tied in several of the stories together at the end, like, you know, the Thor story, that universe was destroyed by Ultron. And then, you know, the penultimate episode, obviously that was the same Ultron that destroyed Thor's world. And that's the story of how he came about, and he's fighting the Watcher. And then the Watcher goes back to the universe with the Superior Strange. Like, that was that was totally unexpected. I didn't expect there to be continuity between these episodes. Really, the only continuity I was expecting was just have the Watcher narrate them. I thought it was really cool that they did that. But I don't think that that's going to have an impact on Multiverse of Madness.
I will say, you know, that notion of like him becoming so powerful that he saw the Watcher was great. That was a fantastic, like, kind of hair standing up on your arm moment, you know?
Yeah. Like that. That was fantastic. And then like Ultron having the same realization, you kind of get to see, cause I guess what it is like, you know, Strange became the strongest, most powerful being in his universe, and so that allowed him to see the Watcher. And then when the same thing happened to Ultron, it allowed him to see the Watcher. But I think Ultron kind of like transcended that, and the fact that he was actually able to get into the Watcher's
He's rolling around with Infinity Stones, man. He's you know, he's completely alone in the universe. He's this high, you know, this highest evolved mind, and then he's also got, you know, the power of reality, time and space. Like, you know, we're as we are informed every single episode, Uatu is all about reality, time and space not being a linear path. And if you've got control of those fundamental forces of nature, then, you know, theoretically you could go anywhere where Uatu is. And so and we see that.
And it was really neat how he got those Infinity Stones.
Okay. Wait. We're going to get there. I want to save that one for last. We're skipping around a bit just because, you know, I was curious as to where kind of your favorites lie and that sort of thing. I mean, for me, man, the Doctor Strange one is a pretty massively impactful episode. But I got to say, my number one favorite episode at this point is the What If T'Challa Became Star-Lord, which is bizarre because I was least hyped for that episode.
Well, it was just so surprising, I think, is what the deal was with that one. You know, Like, no one saw that coming. Nobody saw T'Challa, you know, giving Thanos a heart to heart and having him join the Ravagers.
Just had to have that conversation, man.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what?
But like, yeah, like T'Challa couldn't sit down Thanos like when he was in Wakanda and be like, look, man, this isn't cool.
Yeah. It's like, wait, hang on a minute. Let us have a conversation. Let me explain things to you. Like,
yeah.
No. T'Challa's great, but no, I'm sorry. That was a leap right there. I'd be very curious as to hearing that conversation where that was able to take place. But that notwithstanding, that was kind of a fun surprise in the middle of all this. And an already bizarre concept, like T'Challa becoming Star-Lord is just a bizarre concept as a whole. And it does kind of play into something that I think we see in most of these what if stories, which is not just the what if this, it's like it's kind of presented to us as if is what if T'Challa became Star-Lord. However, there's this other question that's really being asked, which is what if there was no Thanos? You know what I mean? Like, what if Thanos was not in existence and there thus was this power vacuum in the universe?
Not only that, with Peter Quill not being Star-Lord, there's nothing to stop Ego.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. They never pay that off, though.
No, they do. They do. At the very end, Ego goes into the Dairy Queen or whatever that Peter Quill's working into and finds him there.
Yeah, but they never really pay that off, though. I feel like that's setting up a story that maybe we'll see in season two. You know what I mean? Maybe we'll revisit some of these worlds.
I feel like the payoff there was that it doesn't matter that Thanos, was pulled to the light side, so to speak, because of that choice. So because we know the Avengers beat Thanos and they unsnapped everybody. Right. And we know that Ego was defeated because Peter Quill becoming a Ravager and a Guardian of the Galaxy and all that kind of stuff. We know that crisis was averted, but in this one, yes, the threat of Thanos is removed, but the threat of Ego, because all of that is dependent on Peter Quill becoming Star-Lord. And so Peter Quill becoming Star-Lord, I guess, you know, T'Challa solves the Thanos problem, but there's nothing there to solve the Ego problem.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a fair point. I mean, I guess that's true of pretty much all of these characters. If you remove one out of play, or if you rather replace one with the other, there is such a major domino effect. And so I don't know. It would be a fun Earth to return to. And it's kind of nice actually to have.
No, it wouldn't. It would be a giant glob of like blue goo that turned into Ego.
Well, you never know. Maybe T'Challa, Star-Lord, and all of Wakanda will rally to go take him down. You don't know. We don't know. We need to see it play out. You didn't know that Thanos was going to be a Ravager in this. You know what I mean?
No, I did not know that.
They could pull some crazy stuff. And, then we also get, the Collector, who did not skip leg day.
No, he did not. He didn't skip any day.
Nope. He was all on board.
Yeah, he definitely went the Arnold routine and talked to him. Maybe he has Arnold Schwarzenegger in one of those little collector boxes, and that's where he got all his tips for mass gaining on.
We also got a T'Challa and Howard the Duck team up in that episode. This is crazy. And you know what? The great thing about this is this one came right after the Captain Carter episode, which, while I love Captain Carter, the character, I think I would argue that's probably one of, if not the weakest of all the episodes, with maybe a close second being What If the World Lost Its Mightiest Heroes.
I liked that one.
Which one?
What If the World Lost Its Mightiest Heroes.
Actually, let's start with that one then. So you liked that one.
Yeah. Like I thought it was a neat little mystery, and I was like, oh, it's going to be Ant-Man. And like, I was, I wanted to watch it unfold. Like I think a crazy Hank Pym, because Hank, you know, in Ant-Man, he talks about how, you know, you can't shrink too much because it affects your brain. Well, like in this case, it totally did.
Yeah.
And he, goes nuts because, Hope dies. And, yeah, I thought it was really neat. I thought it was cool to have Loki, with the Asgardian angle on there, like come in and you know, you have an Asgardian fight Ant-Man with magic as opposed to like with might or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cool. I enjoyed it. Yeah,
I mean, it definitely had some cool moments. It was fun to see, to kind of revisit The Incredible Hulk, because that's, you know, of all the Marvel movies, that seems to be the one that gets tucked under the rug the most. So to see them kind of embrace that and bring it into this interpretation, to see Natasha kind of play into that story was fun. By the way, the voice actress that plays Natasha was driving me crazy this entire series. And it wasn't until the last episode that I realized same voice actress that plays Poison Ivy on Harley Quinn.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I'm sitting here listening. I'm like, for one thing, she's got a great Scarlett Johansson delivery style, but the voice, you know, obviously with all the voices that we don't have with the actual actors and actresses, it was just throwing me off because I was like, you're not her, but I know you. Where do I know you? You know what I mean? Like,
it yeah.
drive me crazy. And then on top of that, the red hair, I'm like, I'm so confused. But anyway, so yeah, it was great to see Natasha kind of play into that particular movie. Evil Hank Pym, good, you know, great nod to an arc from the comics where he was a bit more of a villainous character, especially wearing the yellow jacket armor. Well done, for sure. I don't know. I just found it the least thrilling and interesting as a whole. That's just me personally. But
yeah, well.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked
it. Everybody can be wrong.
Well, that's fine. the other one that I thought was pretty weak was, again, the Captain Carter. I loved Captain Carter as a character. I'm looking forward to seeing her come back. I love the fact that she's fighting this crazy, evil, Hydra-esque tentacle monster that we see come back again in Doctor Strange. And so you're like, really, really cool character. I love the way that they brought her into the present. Was very different from the way that Steve was brought into the present. And it was cool to see Steve essentially become like a, you know, a World War II Iron Man-esque character. But man, that was, I think, the answer to the question of what if, you know, Peggy Carter became the super soldier is a lot stays the same. A lot stays the same. You know what I mean? Not much changes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that was what was interesting about it, right? Is that one seemed to have the least change on the outcomes of anything, right? Like, as opposed to getting frozen in ice, she's stuck in the Tesseract portal for 70 years and then she comes back. And like, I could see the events of the Avengers taking place as they normally do, just with, you know, Captain Carter as opposed to Captain Rogers.
Yeah. I mean, that's really kind of, you know, which is cool, but also just is less interesting because we've seen this movie before. And
yeah,
again, cool character. So I think, I'm kind of hoping that, you know, I guess we don't necessarily know, but we kind of know what's going to happen in the finale. I think it's a safe bet that Uatu and the superior Stephen Strange are going to go around and collect some of these characters to kind of form a multiversal Avengers. And I'm looking forward to seeing her basically in some new roles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like put Captain Carter maybe in charge of these new Avengers, or have her kind of go on some multiversal Avengers, get her out of a story that we've already seen into her own story. And I would be all for a sequel to this episode, but yeah, it was a little bit of a weak start, honestly, to the entire series.
Well, I think I wouldn't say it was a weak start. I think it was an interesting start because it kind of like opens the exploration, right? So it's like, yeah, what if, you know, Sharon Carter got the super soldier serum. And then, so you're like, oh, okay, cool. And then the next episode, they show you what these what ifs can really be.
Right. Yeah. It was a nice, that's a good point.
It's introduction to the concept and then an exploration on that concept for every other episode.
Yeah. Tweak one thing and it's kind of similar just with the different hero, tweak another thing and the entire universe is completely changed.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's a fair way to kind of set everything up. I hear that. Now, I got to ask, man, were you ever a fan of the Marvel Zombies comic series growing up?
Yeah, I think I got the first volume of them in my comic book drawer over here. I'm pointing at it right now that no one can see me pointing at it, but I'm pointing at it. I think the only one that I wasn't able to get maybe was the first issue, but I don't know. I might have the entire volume in singles, so I'd have to look.
So Marvel Zombies, that was actually like a nickname that was kind of given to fans of the Marvel comic book series, right? Like if you're a fan of the Flash, and so you're like a speedster or something of that nature. I can't remember.
Definitely not a Flasher.
not a Flasher. Definitely not Flashers. But yeah. So, you know, whatever, if you're a super fan of something, there's kind of typically some sort of name for you or your fandom. And Marvel Zombies was kind of the name of, you know, people who were collecting Marvel comics. They were coming into the, get their comics like zombies or something like that. And so the you know, the company kind of embraced that concept and told a story of, hey, what if we actually did have Marvel zombies? And what if these characters were zombified, but maintained their powers and to some extent in the series anyway, a bit of their consciousness. They were just, they craved human flesh and thus had to feed, but at the same time, they were still kind of themselves. Here we kind of see a little bit of that. Like they, you know, obviously the wizards are still using magic, which requires some sort of higher brain function. So it's not like they're completely brain dead or anything like that. And everybody basically has their powers and is essentially as strong as they would be for the most part until they're not. People get sliced in half pretty easily.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I this was coming, man. This was a big hype episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would have been shocked if they didn't do a Marvel Zombies episode.
What did you think? I mean, as somebody who read the comic book series early on, like, did this live up to your expectations or what were your thoughts?
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, I mean, I didn't really have many expectations because these what ifs, these are based off the MCU. These are not based off comic what ifs, you know? Like, I was viewing it in that lens. And so, yeah, you know, it was different from Marvel Zombies for sure. But, you know, I was looking at this as like, what if Marvel Zombies in the MCU? Not like, what if they took the Marvel Zombies comic and made it? Yeah. And so that's what I was looking for. And that's what I got. And I thought it was pretty neat. Like I thought the change in vision was really cool. And having like Scarlet Witch be Scarlet Zombie Witch was really neat.
Oh, and a freaking Scarlet Witch versus the Hulk is a fight that I never knew I wanted. And I want it now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the whole time that, that Hope was sitting there like in big mode, I was like, okay, shrink back down, take off the armor. Like, for real, just take the armor off, shrink, like take the armor off and shrink down, like and just, you know, be a little tiny zombie, that's fine, but don't keep your suit on, come on.
I know, it was like, all right you did it, Hope, shrink. No, what are you doing? You're gonna be a giant zombie lady. Like, no, shrink now.
yeah so I thought that was cool. You know, the throwback to Thanos pulling out the Mind Stone, except for Fish did it to himself. That was pretty legit.
Yeah. The way in which the series as a whole actually mirrored moments that we know and kind of either turned them on their head or just paid kind of an homage to them, almost like, you know, like almost like destiny prevails even in a completely different universe. There are some moments that are just going to have to happen.
And, Keystone moments, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, okay, so, and actually even the relationship that we saw between Vision and Wanda was almost kind of like a twist on the WandaVision narrative.
Yeah, instead of Vision being kind of imprisoned, we had it flipped on its head and it was Wanda being imprisoned.
Right. Man.
The fact that Vision fed Wanda all of Ant-Man except for his head.
Yeah, and you know,
this and T'Challa's leg, like
Let's talk about that. This episode, probably more so than most, although I think the What If the World Lost Its Mightiest Heroes was kind of in the same boat, dealt with some pretty dark stuff in a very humorous kind of lighthearted way. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but, you know, Spider-Man kind of, you know, covered that ground, I think, because they were all like, why are you not impacted by this? And he's like, I am. It's just I can't be sad all the time because I have to be Spider-Man and be happy and stuff.
Yeah. Everybody keeps dying. I mean, like, I gotta stay happy somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would love to hear a kind of a commentary as to why these are our survivors. You know, we get Peter Parker, we get Hope, we get Bruce Banner. Well, obviously Bruce Banner makes the most sense because he was, you know, shot down in Cloak of Levitation, obviously not on the menu. But Bucky Barnes, Okoye, Sharon Carter, Happy Hogan, Kurt, of all people, like, where was the mindset behind putting this team together, you know?
Well, Kurt is very superstitious and afraid of the Baba Yaga, so that makes sense.
Yes, that makes sense. Yeah.
Spider-Man's seen a lot of zombie movies, so that makes sense. Sharon Carter's the power broker, so I guess that makes sense.
I don't see Sharon's the one that, like, I understand probably the least overall. Like, in terms of like what they, you know, what they mean to the story. You know, I think the end game here is we wanted Peter Parker, vampire hunter. Like, that was, you know, I think everybody who's going to survive, we need him so that he can go and help fight the multiversal war. That being said, Hope Van Dyne, okay, makes sense. She's the one that's going to bring, you know, she brought the virus into this world. And so she has to be the one to deal with it. Bucky Barnes less makes sense about story and more makes sense about moments, like Sam dying and then him going up against, Captain America having that, you know, I guess this is the end of the line moment. That makes sense. Okoye, we need somebody who's connected to Wakanda to be like, hey, you know, by the end of this, we need to get ourselves to Wakanda. Happy Hogan, I'm guessing because Peter needed somebody to die so that we could talk about like how he keeps on losing people. And Happy is a character that's kind of close to him and has been an
uncle figure. Well, and Peter, Peter probably, you know, swung him up, swooped him up. I don't know, spidered him up, like, you know, like to protect him, right? Like, it's because he is kind of family. Maybe, you know, maybe May May died and he's like, well, I gotta save Happy. And so he saved Happy and like, you know.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, Kurt has kind of some funny moments there, but also we needed somebody to, I guess, know who Ant-Man was. You know what I mean? Like, because I think, was Bucky alive still at that point, or was he dead at that point when Ant-Man's head showed up?
I think because he found T'Challa. Bucky found T'Challa, right?
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's the thing. So he was off finding T'Challa. We needed somebody to react and actually know who Ant-Man was, because Peter didn't really know him all that well. And, you know,
he just fought him in Germany. Yeah.
Exactly. I don't think any of the Avengers, like post Civil War, I bet if any of the Avengers like talked about him, they're like, wait, who? Scott? Who's Scott? You mean Steve? No, Scott. Ant-Man. Oh, the kid that was swinging around. No, that was Spider-Man. Ant-Man, the guy that got really big. Oh, okay. The guy that got really big, but they probably forgot his name, his superhero name, everything. I think, so it makes sense, I think, to have Kurt there. Interesting team of survivors. And of course, at the end of it, we did get that, great, you know, moment of zombie
Thanos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
So, yeah, like that's what I want, because some of these, like, you know, the cliffhanger endings that they have on there, you know, you were talking about how the Watcher and Superior Strange are going to go and like gather up the multiverse's greatest heroes. And so I do kind of wonder, what are we going to see, Superior Strange dispatch Thanos in a similar style to the penultimate episode? In order to rescue these heroes and bring them to this final battle, or are these cliffhangers there just to be like, ooh, kind of thing? Are we going to get any sort of resolution from that? I wonder.
Yeah. I think it's probably twofold. One is, you know, I think like you pointed out with the T'Challa Star-Lord episode. Like, you have to address the fact that if you change some things, it's going to change some things. Like, we're going to get like a fun story here, but the universe continues and these dominoes continue to fall. And so I think that there is something in value of having kind of these cliffhanger moments each time in and of themselves, because it just validates what they're doing. It's not like every single happy ending is going to be a happy ending, because the world, we know of other threats in the universe just as an audience. That being said, it also opens up the door for sequels. I believe at this point, and I could be wrong, that it has been confirmed that we are getting a season two of What If. And if that's the case, it's likely that we may revisit some of these Earths again. And I feel as though Marvel Zombies might be one of those worlds, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. I kind of rather that they wouldn't. I don't mind revisiting these worlds in the sense that, like, I'm assuming that's what they're going to do in the finale of this season, but I would kind of rather them be, you know, there's infinite universes out there. Let's go see more of them.
Yeah. And I think we'll probably get that too. The real question is, what is a zombie Thanos going to do with the Infinity Gauntlet? I mean, like, if he wants to kill like half life of the universe, well, he's a zombie now.
Well, he's probably going to snap his fingers and make more people so that they can eat more people.
Oh, see, that would make some sense. Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Before diving into the penultimate episode, we got another one that was just kind of completely a concept that was out of left field that, to me anyway, ended up working really, really well, which is, what if Killmonger was rescued, or what if Killmonger rescued Tony Stark?
It was such a weird premise from the beginning. And, you know, I guess I kind of felt like Shuri the whole time, where it's like, I don't know if he's as genuine as he says he is. And I don't know if Tony should be trusting him as much as he is.
You know, the wild thing is, like, I think it's credit goes to the writing, but also to Michael B. Jordan, who, by the way, I think did one of the best voice acting performances in the series as a whole. And like, in terms of, you know, being able to have not all stage and film actors make for good voice actors. Hint, Peter Dinklage, you know, like, is a terrible.
It came from the moon.
Oh, I mean, like, he's a fantastic. You get him on set, he's awesome. You get him on film, he's awesome. You get him in a voice recording, and he is terrible, absolutely terrible.
I think that had paycheck on it, you know.
Oh no, I don't know, man. I've seen him do passion projects, and they're still bad. Like, they're you know, he was the, well, you know what, this is a tangent, but he was the narrator in the David S. Pumpkins special, Halloween special.
I never saw the David S. Pumpkins
Halloween. Well, not special. Very many people did.
Any questions?
Well, to be, I don't guess. Hey, Peter Dinklage narrates it is really a great reason to go out and watch it.
I didn't know they had one. I just saw the one sketch and I was like, cool. And then I guess they tried to like drive it to the ground like SNL tends to do.
Like they do. But anyway, no, Michael B. Jordan, fantastic voice actor. I thought he did I think of everybody, he did the best in terms of really kind of owning that voice and bringing life to the animated character. But what I love about that, man, is that even though we're sitting here and we're watching him like kill T'Challa and like kill people, like, and you know, like mislead half of Wakanda, or not even half, mislead everybody in Wakanda except for Shuri. Like, you know, he is manipulating everyone around him. He is Emperor Palpatining this whole thing to get his revenge. And you still kind of pull from it for him for time to time. You know, like when there's the moment where he's there with his family and you're like, oh, he's restored with his family. It's like, oh, but yeah, he's going to kill him. Like, it's like a sweet, tender moment between him and his uncle. And like for a brief moment, you're like, oh, man, it's nice to see that connection. And then you're like, oh, no, but yeah, he's going to kill him.
It's like we talked about when we reviewed Black Panther, right? It's like, it's not like he's wrong. You're not wrong, Killmonger. OK, it's just like your way of going about things is probably not the best.
Well, he murdered a bunch of people. He murked a bunch of dudes. And I mean, like, you know, that was one thing that I thought was interesting, because the one aspect of this episode that I was like, I don't know if I fully buy. And I feel like every single one of these had some kind of, you know, they ask you to take a little bit of a leap somewhere here and there. For example, with, you know, T'Challa has a conversation with Thanos, and now Thanos is, it's a minion working for T'Challa. You know, this is a big leap. And then you have one like Kurt survived the zombie apocalypse. And it's like, okay. You know, if it serves the story, okay.
Look, he's scared of the Baba Yaga. He would be scared of zombies. He would know exactly what to do.
What I loved about this is that for the most part, Killmonger was like completely on point. Like he, you know, he's just more successful than he was in the actual universe. The moment that he shares with Tony, though, where he says, "I was really hoping that your name wouldn't be one of them," I was like, I don't know if Killmonger would say that. I don't like him. Like he like shot his girlfriend in the movie and like didn't blink an eye. And yeah. I'm like, and so, but Tony Stark, you got
Tony's a colonizer too. Like he wouldn't care at all about him.
Yeah. Plus he's like a super capitalist on top of that. I mean, like, it's just, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I get that y'all bonded and everything else, but what you get about Killmonger is that he can bond with somebody and then kill him and move on very, very quickly. Because he's very, you know, it's one of those
almost kind
of
as if he was a monger of someone who kills, a killmonger,
a monger killer. Oh, oh yeah, what you said. So that was go ahead. Yeah.
Well, they're gonna, you know, call him Fishmonger, but they're like, what if we called him Killmonger instead? And they're like, yeah, you know, that's a lot better.
That might work. That might work a little bit better. But yeah, so I, you know, loved that episode. I thought it was done really well. That was one little moment that I was like, doesn't sit as well with me. But again, we're asked to take larger leaps other places in this series, so I can dig it. And I did like the fact that they kind of incorporated the whole anime aspect of it. Michael B. Jordan is a celebrated anime fan. So it was nice to see that kind of be incorporated here. All right. That brings us, man, to the penultimate episode. What if Ultron won? And we'll just start off by saying, as has been referenced already several times throughout this discussion, Thanos really gets the short end of the stick across the multiverse, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like the reason why they did that is because everyone knows how powerful Thanos is, right? Like he is, he single-handedly beat the Hulk without even using Infinity Stones.
Right.
You know, he snapped half of the world out of existence, beat the entire Avengers, and it took all of them coming together and, you know, Captain Marvel and stuff to like finally beat him. And I think it's really just to illustrate like how powerful Ultron is, or how convincing T'Challa is.
Right. Right. It's the, we got, you know, you want to kind of, you know, he was the big bad. So we got to, you know, we got to make the Infinity Stones paperweights. You know what I mean? Like we've got to take everything that you knew or was afraid of and make them small and nothing. And okay. I mean, like I'm fine with it. I was always like one of my favorite parts of Infinity War is that Thanos to me, while super powerful, was always very killable. Like you got the sense that had he not had the Reality Stone, Gamora may have actually been able to stab him and, you know, through the chest and kill him. You got the sense that, you know, at any given time, he was just flesh and blood. Without the Infinity Stones, he was super strong. Obviously, he was, you know, going toe-to-toe with the Hulk. Even at that point, though, if I'm not mistaken, he had the Power Stone.
He did, but he never used it.
Well, but he was still, like, empowering him, right? Like, he may not have activated it, but he had kind of like a... What do you call it in like video games where you have kind of a passive ability type situation?
Yeah, like a power up or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's still a buff. He's still got the power buff. Even if he's not using the attack, he's got the buff from it.
He's not using the beam attack. He's just using the passive secondary effect.
Right. Here's what I love about this, though, is that Ultron was made as Tony Stark's answer to Thanos. And Thanos, like, had... All right, so this asks the question, what if Ultron won? Here's another what if. What if Ultron didn't go evil? Then, really, Infinity War ends pretty quick, as we just see. You know what I mean? Like, he has everything that he needs to take out Thanos immediately. The armor around the world was successful.
Yeah, but you also didn't have Corvus Blade there stabbing him, which... This version of Ultron...
Well, this wasn't Ultron. Like, Vision is not Ultron. And I think that's the other aspect of this. Like, Tony didn't create Vision to be the armor around the world. He created Ultron to be the armor around the world. And again, like I think this like confirms Tony was right, which he was several times throughout the series. And B, had, you know, had he been successful, which he constantly isn't throughout the series, then you know, it would have resulted in never having the snap. We would have never had Infinity War. Thanos would have been dealt with instantly. And I thought that was great. I thought not only did it communicate how powerful Ultron was, I think it communicates just how right Tony was to begin with.
Yeah. And I think it would also be interesting to see, well, cause like I think about that and like, you know, he's talking about an armor around the world. Like, you know, I feel like, it still would have been Ultron as like this sort of, you know, dictator fascist sort of, dystopia kind of thing. Yeah. Earth would be safe, but like, at what point would Ultron stop? Is like, well, human freedoms are what causes them to, you know, cause pain to one another, and my job here is to protect the human race, so I must protect it from itself, kind of thing. Like, you know, Asimov's
Which is what happened.
Yeah, basically, you know, yeah, it's like Asimov's derived law thing. But you know, he tried to kill all the humans there, but like, I think it would still be an interesting what if to see if his goal wasn't to kill humans, but like
to control them.
Yeah.
But he would have realized that humans cannot be controlled. They'll always rebel. And therefore, you know, I think, you know, it makes sense the way in which, you know, Ultron's logic, kind of cold mechanical logic, works. I love too that in this universe, the only people left alive are the two most human Avengers.
You're right.
Completely depowered, even further so since Clint is, you know, working with a robot arm.
Yeah.
It's
bizarre how that works.
Yeah. All right. So overall, man, what was your thoughts of this episode in particular?
I really liked it. I thought it was super interesting. I think the concept of seeing another being fully powered with the Infinity Stones was really cool, and to have it be Ultron, like, even more so. I liked Arnim Zolom coming back.
Oh my gosh, yes. And what a great... So, okay. Zola, you know what that means, right?
No.
Zola lives. Like, Zola's still alive in the main MCU.
Perhaps.
Not even perhaps. He's in the Kremlin. Well, not in the Kremlin.
He's in the Soviet bunker where the other...
He's in the Soviet bunker thing!
Potentially, but these are alternate universes, and so, like, you know...
Not what if they didn't make a Zola backup universe. That's a different universe. This is what if Ultron 1 universe.
Yeah, but I'm just... I don't know.
Okay. What if the Russians didn't make a backup? Come on, man. That's not a... I'm not saying that universe doesn't exist, but that ain't our universe.
I'm just saying that the decisions leading up to Ultron winning could have also prevented, or at least in our universe, the course of action for Ultron losing could also mean that the Soviets never copied Zola.
Dude, I want Zola back. I want him in the robot giant face head body that they teased in Winter Soldier. I think we're in an era where that would make sense. I would love to see something like that. It'd be great also to bring in kind of a classic Captain America villain to go up against Sam. I think it's kind of a nice blending there. I think that would be really awesome. And they certainly left themselves a backdoor. Actually, the series as a whole established some potential canonical things. We've never gotten mention of Uncle Ben until this series. You know, so I mean, like, there's a lot. There's a lot of things that we can kind of play with in the main universe that we got here. But loved Zola's return, man.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I'm excited to see if that does play out. Now, I did like that we got a exploration of all of these various projects, and Natasha and Clint kind of going through the Raiders of the Lost Ark archives while the Watcher is just sitting there going like, come on, get it, just get it. It's right there, like, just go. Like, you kept on thinking he was gonna nudge it.
Yeah, and like he's us in like every movie we've ever watched, where like, it's right there, just do it.
You know? Almost like slightly to an irritating degree, right? Like, you feel like if you're watching a movie with him, you'd be like, shh, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it was neat that he didn't break his vow, because like, it made it at the end more impactful, right? That he made that deal with Strange. So That was pretty cool.
But you saw that getting strained throughout the entire series. Like, this question of like, when does it make sense? Like, when, you know, and his whole concept is like, well, as long as there's one hope, as long as there is still one hope left for the multiverse, not for this particular universe. As he points out, we've seen other universes on the brink of, you know, in the last days before total destruction, before, like, he's seen universes die. It's about the multiverse and whether or not, you know, once that becomes a risk, well, then there's nothing more to watch. So is he even breaking his vow at this point by engaging with the Superior Strange?
Well, I mean, to, you know, like Ultron's thing was, is before he learned about the Watcher, he had no purpose. He had accomplished his purpose. He had wiped out all the life in the universe or in that universe. Right. And replaced it with Ultron drones or whatever. Similarly, if all of reality, all of the multiverse was destroyed by Ultron, then the Watcher wouldn't have anything to watch on TV. And so like, that's not right. Cool. So his purpose would be, he would have no purpose at that point. Of course, he'd probably be dead, but yeah.
I'll tell you what, man, the Uatu, or not Uatu, I'm sorry. I keep on wanting to call him Uatu. The Watcher got into the game though this week, man. He got armored up.
Yeah. You know, I didn't know what to expect with the fight. Like I figured there might be a fight between them, but I didn't feel like it'd be so physical.
Right.
With reality, like with the Infinity Gauntlet at your disposal, like I didn't think it'd be such a physical sort of fight, but I love the Kirby dots. There were lots of Kirby dots there.
Yes.
And I totally dug that.
Kirby crackle. Yeah. I love to see that at play. No, that was a really, really great fight sequence. In fact, you know, I love that they gave it so much time. For one thing, you know, the Watcher has literally just been watching and commentating. And so to see him actually be more of an, you know, of a character with some agency in the story, really for the first time, was great. And also for a pretty bizarre slash creepy looking character, once he got all armored up and he was throwing down, I was like, I'd buy the statue. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Get the Funko Pop.
Yeah, I can see it. It was great. Now Ultron, you know, goes through the process of, you know, wanting to destroy all these worlds. He actually goes full on Galactus at one point, right?
Yeah, he starts eating an entire galaxy. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, even the way it was shot, where his, you know, helmet kind of haloed the side of his head, gave him a very Galactus-esque even look.
It was very reminiscent of Galactus, I thought.
Do you feel like that's maybe some foreshadowing?
For what? For the MCU as a whole, or for
the
what
MCU as a whole, definitely.
It could be interesting. They're gonna bring in the X-Men, they're gonna bring in the Fantastic Four at some point. And so it would be nice to get a version of Galactus that isn't a giant cloud in space, something more comic-y, because I think we're ready now. I think everybody's ready for that.
Oh yeah. I think we're ready for a lot. I think we are definitely ready for a lot. It's a fun place to be, a fun space to be on. All right. So, you know, we do conclude this episode with the Watcher going to the Superior Strange. I think at this point, the main speculation, the assumption is that we are going to get a collection of heroes from across the multiverse. I'm going to go through the different episodes, and you tell me which character you think we're getting. Okay.
Okay.
All right. What if Captain Carter were the first Avenger?
Definitely going to get Hydra Smasher.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, I'm kidding. It's going to be Captain Carter.
You don't think we'll also get Hydra Smasher though?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't think that's a challenge that, Steve, would back down from.
No, I don't think so either, but
Hydra Stomper.
I thought it was Smasher. Is it Stomper?
I think it's Stomper.
Yeah. It is Stomper. You're right. Captain Carter, obviously, definitely. But I think it's 50-50 as to whether or not we'll get the Hydra Stomper along with her. Would be cool. Would definitely be cool. All right. What if T'Challa became Star-Lord?
Well, obviously T'Challa.
Think we'll get anybody else?
I wonder if they're going to get Ego.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just going to be T'Challa Star-Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe Thanos?
Maybe.
That could be interesting.
Maybe, but probably not. All right, next one. This is a hard one. What if the world lost its mightiest heroes?
That one's tough because everyone's dead.
Yep.
Except for Nick Fury. Maybe Nick Fury.
Nick Fury, and then also Captain Carol Danvers. Captain Marvel. Yeah. My guess is if we get anybody from this one, it's going to be her. But no one else is different enough from that universe for it to be interesting.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do Danvers from this one, though.
You don't think so?
No, I don't, because I think Danvers is in the world where, you know, Ultron comes through and starts to destroy it. So I figure like maybe.
Interesting. OK, he's not. No, she's not. She was in a planet. He got blown up. She got blown up. Ultron went to, I think, Xandar, and then she showed up and she's like, I saw the Terminator movies and they don't need sequels.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to throw you in the planet and we're going to blow up together and I'm going to be the only one standing. I think she was literally the last person he killed in the multiverse universe.
In that universe?
In that universe, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think that's right. So I don't know if anybody from that one, I'm going to say it's Carol Danvers, but I could be wrong. What if Dr. Strange lost his, yeah, we already got that one. We know who that is. What if zombies?
Spider-Man. I mean, maybe Ant-Man's head.
Maybe Ant-Man's head. That's actually, I don't know. That'd be hilarious if we got Ant-Man's head, but no, I think definitely Spider-Man. And then also the cape is coming with him.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What if Killmonger rescued Tony Stark?
I don't know. Like maybe the armies of Wakanda.
Nope. I'm going to say Killmonger as Black Panther.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause I mean, like, you know, you can't get your revenge if Ultron comes and wipes out your universe.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be a hard sell for him, but
I think that's what we're getting. I think we're going to get a, and if that's the case, it's the one I'm the most interested in seeing him interact with these other characters. And then what if Thor were an only child?
Well, Thor, because we just see Ultron show up there.
Yeah.
And yeah, he hasn't been destroyed yet. So I'm thinking maybe we'll get Thor. Yeah, I think Thor. But so,
I think you're right. Party Thor is definitely coming along for the ride. It'd be great if we got Ice Giant Loki as well, just because that was an awesome interpretation of Loki. But yeah, Party Thor for sure. Okay.
But here's the thing though, like we're missing one very, very powerful Avenger. And that would be Scarlet Witch.
Well, so we don't have Vision, although I guess you could argue that Vision is represented in being the bad guy or being the body of the bad guy. Scarlet Witch.
Zombie Scarlet Witch versus Infinity Stone to Ultron.
I want to know. That sounds awesome, but I still want to see Zombie Scarlet Witch versus the Hulk. Who do you think wins that?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll see the end of that fight when they come to get Zombie Scarlet Witch.
That'd be pretty awesome, but I doubt it. I think we're going to get really more of a question of what's going on in Wakanda there with Zombie Thanos. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing all of these potential heroes from across the multiverse come together. How do you think they're going to beat Ultron?
I hope it's not a beam fight. That's all I care about. I just don't want it to be a beam fight.
Do you think we'll see that tentacle monster thing?
Yeah, they'll probably, like, you know, when Strange, like, made a bunch of copies of themselves and like shot out the ribbons and like held Thanos. I'll bet we're going to see that, except for it's going to be tentacles.
Yeah, but okay. So he didn't kill that thing. He just took some of its arms.
Yeah. So he can still shoot tentacles.
No. But I'm all right. So
you think the big monster is going to show up?
All right. So if I'm not mistaken, and I think the big assumption, I don't think this has ever been confirmed, but is that that's supposed to be Shuma-Gorath, you know, Shuma-Gorath, that MCU, that Marvel character that everybody is well known throughout every household in America, Shuma-Gorath.
If you've played Marvel versus Capcom, you know Shuma-Gorath.
That's true. And Shuma-Gorath is an annoying character to play in Marvel versus Capcom. But yes, yeah, giant tentacle monster, I believe, I don't think it's confirmed, but everybody's kind of going based off the assumption that whatever Captain Carter was fighting, whatever Stephen Strange took the arms of, it was Shuma-Gorath. Considering that we got a little bit of consistency there, do you think that that is setting up the concept that we will see Shuma-Gorath play into future movies? Or is it possible that that's a character that's going to somehow appear again in this universe? Possibly they're going to, like, you know, use that to take down the Infinity Ultron.
That would be neat. Like, I think that would be a really interesting way to introduce Shuma-Gorath into, like, you know, Marvel people, like, because even, you know, even people who are fans of the movies and haven't read any of the comics, like you said, they're not going to know who that is. But this would be a way to introduce those people who do follow all this stuff to that character.
No, and I think that there's something to be said for using this as kind of a backdoor introduction in that way for characters. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing kind of how this all trickles out. It's such a bizarre concept, but then of course we've got the Multiverse of Madness coming up with Doctor Strange. We've got Spider-Man No Way Home. The multiverse continues to play a massive role in the MCU as a whole. And yeah, what has been established here in these Disney Plus series is going to have probably significant impact overall. Loki already has. And I think, I think we're just going to get a major continuation of that. So really excited to see what comes from here, man. Any final speculation before we cut it off?
I don't know. I just, you know, I want to find an opportunity to be like, yeah, I called it, but like, it's the multiverse.
Anything like, can happen.
Could be anything. So I don't know. I don't think there's really too much I can sort of speculate. I mean,
Howard the Duck, man. That's exactly.
Howard the Duck is gonna kill Infinity.
Husband, by the way, husband of Darcy the Duck.
Yeah, Darcy the Duck.
Yeah, that's great. Hilarious.
Yeah,
I'll ship it. Why not? Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Why not?
All right. Overall, thus far, with the realization that, of course, we haven't gotten a finale, out of 5 stars, what do you give the series so far?
Wasn't as good as Loki, which I gave 5. I think I had fewer problems with it than I did Falcon and Winter Soldier. I don't know. I'm trying to remember what I gave. I know I gave Loki a 5, I think. And I think I gave Falcon and Winter Soldier a 4 or a 3. I don't remember.
Yeah.
So I'm going to guess that I gave Falcon and Winter Soldier a 3. So I'm going to give this one a 4.
Sounds good, man. Yeah, I'm going to give this one I think a solid 4. I've really enjoyed the vast majority of these episodes. It's they can be kind of hit or miss just based on the way in which, you know, they're all contained. But that also makes them kind of fun to talk about as well. And you know, the fact that they still play into the finale. I don't know. I'm really looking forward to seeing how it all ends. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. This is a different kind of way in which we've approached kind of a binge watch before, not covering the last episode. So we're leaving it open for speculation. What do you think is going to happen? Let us know your thoughts. Hit us up on Twitter at Flash TV Talk. You can find information on the show at tvtalk.fm, including our contact information. That's going to do it for us for this week. But for me, for Belle, for Belle's mom.
Hi, Mom.
Let's make like Thanos and split.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.